Hello, and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program with content created by and for queer communities in Colorado. I'm your host, Kelly Drumright, and today I'm joined by two amazing artists, Tessa Romano and Silen Wellington. Hello, and thank you both so much for joining me on Outsources. So to begin, could you introduce yourselves to the audience? You can feel free to include whatever you think is relevant, whether that's, if you're a nerd like me, astrological placements or pronouns or professional endeavors, political lineage. Feel free to spiral in whatever direction feels right.
I'm Tessa Romano. My pronouns are they, them. Dr. Tessa Romano in some circles after I went to see you and got that fancy degree. I am a Scorpio like Silen, which I feel like is where a lot of our collaborating starts and the similar energy that we have. At the moment, I'm the head of voice at the University of Otago, which is located in this place called Dunedin, New Zealand, or Otepotsi Aotearoa on Kaitahu land. It's remarkably close to the Antarctics, but I cannot wait to travel back to the place that was my home for 3 years very soon.
And my name is Silen, as in silent without a T. I use they, them, or he, him pronouns, and I'm a composer, poet, performance artist, and you know, longtime friend and collaborator of Tessa. Probably started with our scorpionic tendencies and the things we want to explore in art, since that does feel relevant for a lot of the art that I make. Yeah, and outside of music, I serve as an LGBTQ plus coordinator for a suicide prevention nonprofit in Northern Colorado, as well as work in peer support advocacy realms. So that's my parallel career alongside the musical performances and commissions that I pursue.
Wearer of many hats, doing lots of important work out there, both of you. So the impetus for the interview is an upcoming performance called Place Them on the Altar, which is happening on June 12th in Fort Collins and June 13th at the Dairy Arts Center in Boulder. And from what I understand, Place Them on the Altar weaves music, song, and poetry together in an exploration of non-binary identities and lived experiences. But I want to hear from you both about how you would describe the event to folks who might be interested.
I might leave Silen to begin this, because it's really featuring the amazing work that Silen is doing. I mean, all of the musical works in the performance are pieces that Silen has written, and Silen is also facilitating an amazing open mic music improvisation poetry reading toward the end of the event as well. So I'm going to toss that one to you, Silen.
Thanks, Tessa. Yeah, so this evening is all featuring music that I composed. And so much of my work and artistic performance work focuses on my identity and the ways in which it impacts how I experience the world. So the first half of the program is a set of songs that I wrote to Tessa's poetry about their experience of being non-binary. You can't see my face, but I'm like smiling so much because Tessa and I first met when they were singing the lead role in a non-binary chamber opera that I wrote in 2016. And then they like wrote a dissertation about testosterone effects on the singing voice, and were like coming to trans choir every week to like hang out and like interview people. And like it took them like 5 years to come out as non-binary. Like they were writing the academic interest angle for like a really long time.
I really relate to this soft launch. And I love hearing both of you are like uplifting the other person, being like, oh my gosh, my collaborator is amazing. So these two Scorpios diving deep already. I love it.
Yeah, we do have a pretty special collaborating relationship and friendship. And I just want to laugh out loud every time Silen tells the story of how I kind of came out and we came to this project, because it is really hilarious that it took me so long to figure out myself. I mean, everyone takes their own time, so it's the perfect amount of time. But in so many ways, Silen was like a guide for me, particularly through creative and academic practice, right? I was like doing it as an academic pursuit for so long until I realized that this was part of me that I was just desperately trying to explore for so long. And that's kind of how these songs, which are being premiered at this performance came to fruition. So the title of the performance, Place Them on the Altar, is the title of the cabaret song cycle that we wrote for these performances. And they do follow some of my angsty coming out poetry that I wrote very soon after coming out to my family, which was generally a positive experience. So that was very fortunate. I never meant for these poems to see the light of day, but we love collaborating, Silent and I, and we're always looking for the next project. And I was like, oh, wow, these angsty poems, though, they are just ripe for cabaret style singing. Shailen just has to write something to these. So we were talking about how the collaboration actually started on these songs, and we can't remember which idea came first, like the cabaret songs or the poetry, but the stars just aligned, and whoever got the project started, it feels like it was both of us. The idea was percolating in our minds just at different wavelengths and different times.
And here it is coming to fruition. So Tessa, you are the performer of the first half, right? These cabaret songs.
Yes, that's right. That's something I meant to mention at the beginning, that I am the singer of the songs.
I probably should have said that too. That kind of is my job at introducing. But anyway, we got there eventually.
Yeah, we did.
But the other part of the program is poetry. So Silen, can you tell us some more about that?
Yeah, so after Tessa sings these four songs to poetry that they wrote, music that I wrote, we move into a piece called Hollow, a Banishing Ritual. And this is a piece for string quartet, electric guitar, and poetry. So that's where the poetry weaves in. And Playground Ensemble, which is Denver's premier new music chamber ensemble that I've collaborated with quite a number of times now, will be performing that again. This piece got premiered back in April when Playground commissioned the piece, and I'm really looking forward to having another performance of it. So it's interdisciplinary in that I'm the spoken word artist on stage with the musicians, and we developed a lot of the music through this like workshop style rehearsal process where I'd read the poetry and they'd like improvise back to me, and that's how I wrote the music for it. And the piece explores this public-private paradox that I experience being a trans person, sometimes inconveniently attracted to cisgender men, and how in public and mainstream narratives about trans bodies are, you know, often do not show us as sexual beings, but that in private, I experience so much harassment and objectification and fetishization from cisgender men who, like, in public will not really reveal those desires. So the piece really explores that, and it uses quotes from cisgender men's dating app profiles and messages I've received. And there's like electronics where, you know, Tessa's partner Rushi voice acted for me, reading out loud these like terrible things. And then the spoken word poetry is my response to processing some of those things, processing some of that trauma in an effort to really reach for humanity. So that piece explores the hollowness, hence the title, of objectification, or affection that's fueled by objectification, and asks how we can come closer to each other. And following that, because that piece is intense, and there's like a ritual component of release related to it that invites the audience to participate in asking themselves, like, what's getting in the way between me and intimacy, since that's really what that piece feels like it's about for me. Following, we wanted to engage the audience and have an open mic experience to process some of the themes that came up, whether that's themes of identity, themes of intimacy. So we'll be doing a little bit of writing exercises together. And the musicians, Playground Ensemble, will also be improvising to the open mic performers. So getting to play a little bit with, okay, what is this cross-disciplinary experience that I enjoy, that feels so much my creative process? How can others experience the playfulness or the strangeness or weirdness of that as well within the context of our performance evening?
The more I hear about it, the more I'm like, this sounds like just the coolest, queerest take on like a performance event, you know, because it's like multimedia, and then it's also like participatory, and it leaves the space for possibility and what emerges, you know, with whoever happens to be at the audience. And it'll be a different experience for each of the nights, right?
Exactly. And I hope you're exactly right, Kelly. I mean, we designed this for the community. It's not just for us sharing our experiences. We want to share experiences and have others share their experiences with us, and just have this coming together moment during a particularly important month and week for us, a Pride Month and Boulder Pride Week. So we hope that it feels like it is uplifting the community.
The timing couldn't be better. Okay, so you both seem like cool, creative folks. So one thing I love talking to artists about is their creative process. And I know you mentioned it a little bit about Tessa, you writing your poetry and feeling like drawn to the cabaret style and then asking Silent to collaborate. But I was wondering if you all wanted to share anything else about whether it's this collaboration or past collaborations. And I also have some creative collaborations, and there's just such like a queer joy to it, I guess. Maybe I'm projecting, but I want to hear what you all think about it.
I think the best thing about collaborating is just what comes of the relationship that you build in each collaboration, and each one is, it's kind of different and has its wonderful quirks. And I've loved exploring so many different collaborations with Silen. It's been amazing how like the twists and turns of every different project we choose to do together, and how that feeds the type of collaboration that we create. These songs were the first time that I had a more active role in actually writing from the beginning. It was the first time I ever wrote words that were ever set to music in my life.
Wow, yay!
It's really exciting. I've never sung my own words. It's a very interesting, very vulnerable process in a very different way, but in some ways still similar to what I do, which is tell stories and try to be really true to whatever experience is on the page. But it was so wonderful this time to have like a from the get-go participation in creating this awesome cycle that Silen has written around these words.
Yeah, and similarly, this was actually the first time that I've set someone else's words to music. Most of the time I'm setting my own words to music. So that was a venture for me too. And it was really nice to be able to have this long-term working relationship with Tessa such that I could be like, hey, you know, I changed this line because the like music needed to go up in this way or down in this way. And like having that flexibility and that back and forth, even in editing the words and then editing the music. My process as a composer is often pretty collaborative. I like meeting with musicians and being like, okay, like, what's the weirdest sound you can make? What do you like to sing? So that I'm writing something that they like too. And nowadays, like when I write for Tessa, I hear their voice in my head just because I'm so familiar with it. But we'll still have that back and forth of like, okay, here's the music. And Tessa might change some notes or like make suggestions of note changes in terms of what's going to come across the best and going to make the text most shine. So yeah, the process has been really delightful for me.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU, Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins. I'm your host, Kelly Drumright, and I am speaking with two wonderful artists, Silen Wellington and Tessa Romano, about their upcoming event, Place Them on the Altar. And it's an evening of music, poetry, and ritual exploring non-binary identity, followed by an open mic. And these are happening on Sunday, June 12th at 7:30 p.m. at the Laurie Student Center in Fort Collins, and Monday, June 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Dairy Arts Center in Boulder. For more information, you can go to silenwellington.com. That's S-I-L-E-N, wellington.com. We can move on to, there's a specific incident that happened that I saw on the social media that you have been posting, Silent and Tessa, about the event. I guess I could just briefly summarize, and then Silent, you can take this question however you want to. But there was an incident where a flyer that was hanging up in a public space in Fort Collins was taken down and ripped up and put in the trash. When the staff from this place found that out and saw that, they very lovingly took the poster and put it all back together. I just wondered if you wanted to contextualize this incident of transphobia, or maybe share how you're responding to it, or how it's affecting you, I guess, in the lead up to the performance.
Thank you for that question. And I suppose it's hard to like contextualize hatred because it never makes much sense to me. I'm like hard to guess the motive. Like, is it because it was the trans flag colors? It says non-binary on the poster. Like, it seems like it was a pretty targeted incident of tearing down. And the past couple weeks have been really intense here in Northern Colorado. There has been an uptick in hatred at our school board meetings, for instance, and just a lot of transphobia kind of in the news, and like some protest, counter-protest situations have been happening. And I've really been in the thick of that through my work as an advocate. And it's made me kind of fearful about even advertising this event in Fort Collins, wondering, oh, like, who's going to show up? Like, what's going to happen? Like, where should I put these flyers? But from this story, we've still been flyering. We've still been advertising in Fort Collins. And I am confident that there'll be supporters like coming to our show, but I am disheartened by this. And I think it's even more important that we're putting our stories out there, especially during Pride Month. And it's like hard to find words for, but it's been intense the past year, even with all the anti-trans legislation going on. Like it feels like there's a very tangible pushback, and like we are not curving towards justice. It feels like we have to fight for it every step of the way. And I hope that in shining with our own authenticity in this show and speaking our truths, I think that authenticity and that truth speaking can be disarming and can sometimes clarify the hatred. As soon as you make that personal connection with someone, it's much easier to sympathize with those transgenders that you might have only heard about on Fox News, but oh, now I'm here in the flesh and you're hearing us sing beautiful music. And That's my hope for the show, is not necessarily to change hearts and minds, because I think we always thought of our audience for this show as being pretty LGBTQ+, but to be able to still come together as a community to support each other in this time and remind each other that we're beautiful and resilient.
Okay, so this is a bit of an off-the-cuff question that is totally different from the trauma content that we were just doing. So if you can shift maybe 180 degrees to some media, because I always love to talk media, especially queer media. The queerer the better, in my opinion, but I'm very biased. So is there anything that you are reading, watching, or listening to that you want to share?
I am very into the N.K. Jemisin, the fifth season trilogy right now. I don't know if y'all have read it yet, but it is wonderful. And there are some very queer characters in there. I mean, there are different species, and not all the species have clear genders. And she very nicely points out sometimes the perception by the more humanoid, I suppose, species in perceiving gender onto another species. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing to very nonchalantly, but continuously sprinkle throughout those novels. And it's just a very potent trilogy for what the US is going through at the moment, and also gives you that lightness of like, but this is still fantasy and I can still find some kind of release and escape, even if it is extremely relevant. Kind of like sometimes when you watch Star Trek or something too. So the fifth season N.K. Jemisin trilogy, highly recommend.
Excellent recommendation.
I've been reading Stone Butch Blues first time through. It's really intense, but really beautiful. And I've also been watching Sense8, and it's my first time through. I feel like I'm like very late to the game with Sense8. And that's just been like a trans delight too. What I love most about it are like these cheesy montages between all of them.
Yes.
There's like this Four Non-Blondes montage, and I'm just like imagining the Wachowski sisters like just geeking out about like this trans hacker trope character and like just all these pieces of it.
I am so glad that you mentioned Sense8. That is one of my favorite shows ever. And it's just like this cluster is definitely like a queer and also like crip/disabled way of thinking of like how we organize, you know, as human beings. And I just love that idea. And I could, can y'all, I'm just putting it out there into the universe that maybe there'll be some Sense8 themed collaboration between you two in the future.
Wow, I feel like that would be very on brand for us actually, so we should definitely think about that.
life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time. So where can folks find out more about your work and keep up with what you're doing in the future?
We both have pretty flash websites that are just ournames.com. Sylin has SylinWellington.com and I have TessaRomano.com. So that's relatively simple, but especially the ticketing information for the show is on Sylin's website, and all of our event posts link to that. So we have event posts up on Facebook. We also have event posts up on our personal and professional Instagram accounts, which are also just our names.
Yeah, my Instagram is at Sylin_creature. So the Sylin as in silent without a T, _creature. And in terms of keeping up with my work, if you're not on socials, I do have an email mailing list. I send out 4 emails a year. They're usually wistful poetic musings, plus here's an announcement about my most recent project. So for those of you who have divested from the Facebook franchise, I do too. Yeah, do the mailing list, the email list.
You know, I might take you up on that. That sounds lovely to have that come across my inbox quarterly. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for joining me. I can't wait to see the performance, and thank you for your time and for coming on Outsources.
Yeah, we can't wait to see you there, Kelly, for your birthday.
Yes, it is. This Gemini Gremlin's birthday on the 12th. So yeah. I will be there on the 12th.
Yeah, we hope other folks from the community come out as well. We can't wait to see you all there. And we're so, so grateful to be on your show.
Oh, I just also want to say, allies are so welcome at our show and very encouraged, especially in the light of tearing down flyers. We would love to have supporters there, even if you're not part of the LGBTQ+ community.
We need everyone. Together is how we get free.